Perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. Now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Sometimes I see through eyes of sorrow, a problem that reaches the sky, and it seems every day it gets bigger and bigger, a mountain, and it's so hard to climb. Well, it's then I remember the story of Jesus, how he stood such that painful ordeal. And my troubles, they crumble. I know I can make it, for my mountain is only a hill. Oh, I'm not standing in a courtroom, betrayed and denied. My body isn't bleeding or beaten with stripes. No soldier planned to hang me on an old rusty tree. So I find my mountain is only a hill. Jesus made all my cares seem smaller by the way that he faced the angry crowd. And it shows me how to look past all of my trials to the thorns they placed on his brow. There I see that blood falling down on my mountain, lifting my cares. Oh, the power in the crimson uncovers my mountain and shows me it is only a hill. No, I'm not standing in a courtroom, betrayed and denied. My body isn't bleeding and beaten with stripes. No soldiers plan to hang me on an old rusty tree. So I find my mountain is only a
Yes, sir. I find that my mountain was only a hill. I preach a sermon sometime called Go Mountaineers, and there is a mountaineer, and that mountain, Jesus Christ, climbed that mountain and paid the debt that I owed and told me, he said, son, Your sins have been forgiven. That's a great thing. I thank you this morning for joining with me in Something to Believe In here this morning and worshiping God. I trust today that we're just going to play some music for you, and then I'll come back and close the broadcast a little while later on, okay? You just sit back and enjoy today's broadcast. Sometimes past failures, they're brought to my mind. I feel so worthless, I'm broken inside. But I must remember what God's Word has said. Sins are forgiven and covered in red. In the depths of the sea, under the blood, never remember, because of His love. Though Satan reminds me, Jesus has said, forgive that forgotten and covered in red. On top of Mount Calvary, with nails in His hand, how He pleads for the guilty, forgiveness for them. Such love and compassion has never been seen. They're covered in red as He hung on the tree. In the depths of the sea, under the blood, never remember, because of His love. Though Satan reminds you, Jesus has said, forgive that forgotten and covered in red. Though Satan reminds you, Jesus has said, forgive that forgotten and covered in red.
A small lonely hill that He knew would be called Calvary. Then He made the sea that would grow to be the one that would make His Son believe. Gave it leaves and then gave it sunshine and rain, He sheltered it with calm. He drew the stream, He knew the dream, used to make the old earth cry. On a tree that He created, His great love.
God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. The tears in his eyes got in a standard sign. So instead of all rejected and lost, oh, still he grew the tree. And he knew with me used to make the old rugged snow. I think the king's mind with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created. His great love for man, God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. He grew the tree that he
I would lift the text today from Acts chapter 17, verse 21. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. I am reading from Acts chapter 17. The story begins in verse 16, when Paul came into Athens. And the Bible said there his spirit was stirred because he saw them giving themselves into adultery. Notice here in verse 18, they said he seems to be one who is setting forth a strange God, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Is the old-time religion sufficient today? In verse 21, the Bible said, for the Athenians and the strangers that were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Isn't that just like we are today, always looking for new things? Just about the time I get in step, I find myself out of step. But the question I'd like to ask my listeners today, is the old-time religion sufficient for today? Is God's Word sufficient for today? You see, many, many years ago, 40 men wrote 66 books of the Bible 1,500 years ago. And today, we see that book, and it's still just as real today as it was when they wrote it. Great men were moved as they were moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they wrote the book, which is so evident, and so positive, no mistakes, no errors. It's a complete formulation of God. It's God speaking to the people. It's a love letter from heaven. It tells us that the Bible is true. It says the world may be on fire, but the Word of God will stand throughout the ceaseless ages of time. There were some great men who met one time who thought they would destroy the Bible. And as they gathered, they built a great bonfire. And one was elected to throw the Bible into the bonfire. And when he took the book in his hand and started to throw it, all of a sudden he paused. He looks over the congregation. He said, gentlemen, we had better save this book until another or a better book would come by. But you see, folks, there is no better book. Even though that it does draw dust upon some of our shelves, even though that it does lie, it's never open, it's never read, but it's a good decoration for the living room coffee table. But yet the Bible stands even above every book that has ever been written. It is generation after generation building upon the faith and establishing a covenant with God through and by the Word of God. Because you see, the Word of God is powerful. The Bible said it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts coming and going. He cuts us away from our sin and brings us to God. My father told me about the Word of God. He taught me that the Word of God would be a lamp unto my pathway. He taught me that it was something I could depend upon. He taught me that it was something I could trust. I could put my total dependence upon the Word of God. And you know, after I've found Christ to be real in my life, I've come to find out that my life entirely depends upon God's Word. If God's Word is false, then, sir, I'm eternally lost without God. And today I can come to Christ and I can repent of my sin, knowing that if I confess it, that He will forgive it. He will throw it in as far as the east is the east and the west is the west. And He will never remember it again. Oh, my friends may remember it. And my enemy will always remind me of it. But once God has forgiven me, I have been forgiven. And today you can believe that. You can trust in that. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed. And Paul said, there is now no condemnation to them which is in Christ. You see, Paul believed in justification. I believe the Bible teaches justification. I believe the old-time religion is a gospel of justification. It's a gospel that believes in the virgin birth of our Lord. We are living in a day and time when the virgin birth has been challenged. Many clergies who stand in the pulpit today do not believe in the virgin birth of our Lord. But in Matthew it tells us, "For behold, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son, and ye shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sin." Even in Isaiah 7 and 14, he said, "For behold, a virgin would conceive." And today, I believe that that virgin birth of Jesus Christ, I do not believe he was seared by a German soldier. I don't believe that he came from a streetwalker walking down the street. I believe that he came from a holy woman, a woman who had never been touched by man. And the blood of Jesus Christ was placed within the womb of this Virgin Mary. The blood came from the very throne room of heaven. And God injected the blood of Christ into the body. And then after 9 months, she carried that body. And it was born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It grew up. It became a man. It was not only a man, but he was a God-man. He was God incarnated in the flesh. Remember that the prophet said, or the angel said, that he would be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And God came and took upon him the form of man. You see, I believe in the God. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Trinity of God. We must believe in the virgin birth of our Lord, because that is the old-time religion. I believe that it is powerful to transform man from their sin. Notice in Romans 12 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." You see, holiness is a word that some of us have become afraid of. But the Bible said, "Without holiness no man shall see the Lord." I believe the Bible says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And today, I believe that a person can be holy. You say, "Brother Tommy, why do you believe that?" I believe it because God said it. If God said, "Be ye holy as I am holy," I believe that God can make us holy. Not holier than thou, but listen, once our sins have been forgiven, we have been made just as though we've never had sin in our life. We become a brand new person. Paul said, "For behold, all things have become brand new." You see, because we realize that by the shedding of blood, all of a sudden we have what we call the grace of God. And the grace of God is so magnificent in our life. A man attends a revival. He's there every night, and the preacher is preaching. He says, "I'm going to be preaching in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I want to preach on the grace of God." Every night during that revival, that preacher would stand and preach from the same text. This young man, he went every night, and he heard the same text every night. He told a friend of his, he said, "Well, you ought to go down and hear that preacher." He said, "He only got one sermon." And that's from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." And said every night He preaches on the grace of God. Well, that old boy went down. God got a hold of his heart. The Holy Spirit dug deep down within his spirit. He went to an altar prayer. He confessed his sin, got right with God. He went back the next night when the preacher got up. He said, "Well, I don't know what to preach on tonight. I've accomplished what God has sent me to do." And I preached every night from John 3:16. And he said, tonight I don't know what to preach on. And the old boy stood up in the back. And he said, preacher, preach on the grace of God. And he said, I'm saying today that the grace of God is so sufficient. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hey, sir, to have your sins been forgiven, you're not the person you used to be. You've been changed. You've been made a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Why? For so long, I have searched for life's meaning enslaved by the world and all my dreams. In the door of my prison was opened by Him, and now, praise the Lord, I am free. From the guilt of tomorrow, I'm free from the guilt of my past. I tread in my shackles for a glorious life. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I am free from the guilt that I carry, from the dead empty life I am set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the brutal child I used to be. I'm free from the guilt of tomorrow. I trade in my shackles for the glorious life. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free at last. I trade in my shackles for the glorious life. And now, praise the Lord, I'm free at last. I refuse to be discouraged, to be sad, or even cry. I refuse to be downhearted, and here's my reason why. I have a God who's so mighty, He's sovereign and supreme. I have a God who loves me, and I'm on His team. He is all-wise and powerful. Jesus is His name. Through everything is changeable, my God still remains the same. My God knows all that's happening, beginning to the end. His presence is my comfort. You see, He's my dearest friend. When sickness comes to weaken me and bring me to my knees, I call upon this mighty God. Into His arms I flee. When circumstances threaten to rob me from my peace, He draws me close unto His breast, where all my striving cease. And when my heart melts within me and weakness takes control, He gathers me into His arms. He soothes me and my heart and soul. The great I Am is with me. My life is in His hands. The Son of God is my hope. It's in His strength I stand. I refuse to be defeated. my eyes are on my God. He has promised to be with me as through this life I trial. I'm looking past all my circumstances to heaven's throne above. My prayers have reached the heart of God. I'm now resting in His love. I give God thanks in everything. My eyes are on His face. The battle's His, but the victory is mine. He'll help me as I run this race.
Well, I do hope that you've enjoyed today's broadcast. I just felt like doing it like this. We play a few songs, and I would close the broadcast by having a prayer with you. I hope that everybody's doing well, and I trust that God is blessing you. I know that God is a God blesser. Brother B.R. Lincoln used to say, thank God He's a blesser, and He blesses my blessers. So I thank God for His blessings. I thank Him for every day. I pray for this corona. I know that it's bad, and people be very cautious. Be very careful about it. If you have it, let's pray about it. Father, into Your hands we commit our life. Lord, You know us. You know our heart. You know our mind. Lord, You know all about us. You know more about us than we know about ourselves. So, Lord, we turn it over to You. And, God, whatever You do, then we're willing to let Your will be done in our life. As Jesus cried, not my will, but Your will be done, Father. And that's what we say this morning on this broadcast on Something to Believe In. Thank God I found something to believe in, and I hope this morning that you have found something also to believe in. Goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Then I went down to the potter's house and placed this vessel.
You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.
His hands of mercy molding me. Set me forth when He was finished, so that all the world could see that He had mended a broken vessel. It matters not what shape it's in. Yes, I've been to the Father's house. I've been made